CFO Radio is the only radio show that explores the passion of today's CFO and examines the innermost thoughts of the financial world, financial perspectives of tomorrow. Welcome to CFO Radio. I'm Lorraine Chilvers.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, Delaney Consulting, LLC, providing financial leadership to fast-growing companies, interim management, and executive placement for the finance function. Visit DelaneyLLC.com and learn why 100% of their clients describe Delaney's services as outstanding and excellent. Also, National Association of Corporate Directors, an association created for directors by directors, whose mission is to advance exemplary board leadership. We are sponsored by the Atlanta chapter.
And this week's CFO Radio News is coming to us by smallbusinesscosthelper.com. And it's a very apt discussion for today that we're going to have on the theme of transportation, relocation, and some of the major expenses that CFOs have to deal with. And our news article deals with this. And it goes something like this. Corporate relocation cost. How much does this really cost corporate America? A relocation agency can help sell the old home, find a new home or apartment, locate schools, and in international moves, arrange for necessary documents, visas, and language classes. Actual amounts of the costs that we're about to announce are based on the amount and distance of household goods to be moved. Now, what would you find typical costs to be? Full service relocation of an employee who rents an apartment averages a little bit less than $16,000 for a new hire and a little bit more than $18,000 for a current employee. The cost to relocate a homeowner, including helping to sell their own home and to purchase a new one, averages between $52,000 for a new hire and $64,000 for a current employee. Now, when you're in discussions regarding relocation, what kind of costs should you be including? Well, this article goes on to say that when relocating an employee who rents an apartment, the full service price can include the cost to break a lease, rent a new unit, a four-day apartment, hunting trip, shipping of household goods, temporary living expenses, and typically there's going to be a miscellaneous allowance as well. Homeowners who are relocated may be paid the cost to sell the old house and buy a new one. A longer home finding trip, maybe 6 or 7 days, shipping, temporary living expenses, and miscellaneous allowance. Each business determines their own level of benefits based on a variety of factors, including budget and competition for a needed employee. Some companies offer a capped rate for relocation benefits of $3,000 to $10,000 to cover the basics of cost of moving household contents. And just a personal added comment from me on this particular article to the employee and the person that is being relocated. Watch out for the tax man. You can get a little bit of a benefit deemed to you of the relocation function. Well, today I am pleased to have James Munson joining us as our guest. He is president and CEO of Munson International, and I'd like to give him and his firm a plug. Jim and I have been friends for many, many years, and his business has been a sponsor of CFO Radio, and we're very thankful to that. And so shout out goes to Munson International. So what do they do? Munson International is a relocation company that spans the worldwide. He has over 35 years of experience providing destination and relocation services to thousands of clients, both domestic and international. Jim is president of the South African United States Chamber of Commerce in Atlanta. He was recently nominated as Atlanta World Showcase and Governor's International Award recipient for the Individual of the Year. Jim is involved with several charities and serves on industry boards such as the Georgia Council for International Visitors, the World Trade Center Atlanta, Georgia Bio, and the Russian American Chamber of Commerce. He is a disabled Navy veteran and a proud member of the Rotary Club Atlanta. Munson International manages the moving and relocation of many, many firms, and they manage the moving and relocation of the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia. Jim graduated from the University of Memphis with a BBA in marketing. He's also involved in several other companies, including Ritz Group Investor Networking, Peak Resource Group, Tinson Corporation, and GreenTech, all companies with deep Metro Atlanta roots. Well, my goodness, Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure having you.
Well, you know, it's been wonderful. I've known that you do the show, mostly you have CFOs, and they're going to be spouting numbers all the time.
And this is going to be a departure.
It will absolutely be a departure because I am certainly not a numbers guy. But I do like the numbers you've gotten. But I think they're kind of low on most international. Relocations
from the news article.
From the news article, okay. Yeah, they'll say that a failed assignment on an international move will cost you almost $500,000.
Wow,
it's unbelievable, and people don't prepare for failed assignments. And what you have to think about on an international assignment is the whole family. We just had an opportunity recently. We moved a family from Georgia to Germany. And the spouse did not want to go. And they're coming back. And it was a husband, wife, two children. And
for a new position promotion or something?
Big promotion. He was going to be responsible for all sales for all of Europe. He was all excited. But we offered them cross-cultural training, which was language training, how to live. In this case, they're going to Germany. How to... help her get set up in Germany, and she refused all of those classes. Well, to us, that was a telltale sign. And if you think about what happens, whether you're going overseas or you're coming back, the fact is, the scenario is very typical. If you're moving, the employee's moving, they're going to be engrossed in their job. The children are going to go to school, and they're going to be engrossed in school.
And that's a huge change,
whether it's
state to state, city to city, or country.
That's right. But the spouse is going to be sitting there, and if they don't understand the language, they don't understand the culture, their tendency is going to be to say, I'm going to stay home, I'm going to be depressed, I'm going to watch TV. And within a relatively short period of time, they're going to say, I hate this, I hate this country. And guess what? I hate you, the spouse, the working spouse. I hate your company, and I'm going to go back to what I'm familiar with.
So let's get down to the base of it. You're a psychologist in your part-time,
right? Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly what you have to be. You have to be. And any company that doesn't take the time to offer those services is really missing the boat. We strongly suggest that you look at when you're going to interview a candidate for a position, whether they're coming to the States or you're going overseas, whatever you're going to do, don't just interview the candidate, interview the whole family. And we help with all of those processes. Anyhow, that's one of the things that we try to do. The other thing we try to do, we just had an opportunity. We of course do domestic moves, but people don't realize that the moving process, just the moving, the relocation process, is considered the third most stressful thing you're going to do. Now, here's an interesting fact. Number one is death of a spouse. Number two is divorce. Number three is relocation. So what happens is, how could that be? That doesn't make sense. But the fact is, you're settled. You're sitting in a scenario where you've got your home, you're settled. Even if you're excited about your job, even if you're excited about this opportunity, we're going to move to Austin, Texas. We like Austin, Texas. We think Austin, Texas is wonderful. But the fact is, you've lived in this home for X number of years. You're familiar with your shopping. You're familiar with your scenario. And what companies have started doing in the olden days, back when I started this, they used to have relocation people that would assist you. What companies are doing now and what we're trying like the devil to get them to stop doing is giving people lump sums. This is one of the things I really want to emphasize on this show. Stop just giving people money.
And what this is when, let's say for a CFO, if he or she has somebody that's moving in the firm, very often it's beholden upon either the HR department or
right.
maybe the CFO function
right.
to manage this.
Right.
And typically what they do is they'll calculate all the various different costs of shipping, packing, you know, making sure the china's going to get there, the dog's going to get there fine.
They'll go out and they'll say, get me three estimates on moving. Well, the moving is the least of their problems. You've got to sell a house. You've got to buy a house. You've got to figure out a neighborhood. And on top of all the stress that you've got, I'm going to put the onus of responsibility on the family. Why would you do that?
Right.
You can't do that. It's really unbelievable. So there's companies out there like ours that and the interesting thing is people don't understand, we don't charge anything. We make our fees off of the actual services. So rather than just say, here's $8,000 to move, why wouldn't you give us the $8,000 and say, manage this process? Well, how is it feasible that we don't charge anything? That's one of those things that sounds like it's too good to be true.
Right.
Well, it's not too good to be true because the fact is we will help you list your house. Okay. We'll make a referral fee on that. Now, what happens is, let's go through a typical scenario.
So you're not charging the company.
That's right. We're not charging the company. Now, what will happen is if you're going to list your house, what you normally do is one of four things. You're going to list it with the person that sold you the house, which is a bad idea because they can't get the money that they sold it to you for. So they're going to have a very difficult time telling you they can't do that. The second thing is either a friend or a relative who really doesn't want to tell you that the orange shag carpet that they've told you they liked for the last 12 years needs to go. Or the worst thing is a listing agent. Now, what happens, and everybody has listing agents. Everybody knows somebody.
What's wrong with them?
All right, here's what happens. Listing agents are really, really, really good at doing one thing, getting listings. And what they're not good at is selling your house. And what you see is you go around certain neighborhoods all the time, and you'll see one guy or one family or one of these teams, and they have 12 houses in the same neighborhood. Now, why would you think they'd work any harder for you than they do for the other 11? Well, the answer is they don't. They don't know who's moving to town. They're not people that are helping people buy houses. What we do this, you'll never see a Munson International sign. What we do is we figure out who's moving to town. I'll give you a great example. We just recently listed a house with somebody in Peachtree City. Now, here's what we did. We said, okay, what's going on down in Peachtree City? What's happening in Peachtree City? Well, the fact is we know that Porsche is going down. We know that the these people didn't want to list their house for quite a while. We know that there's a lot of German activity down there. This house, when you look at it, would be very, very, very attractive to Europeans because the way it was designed. Was very, very attracted to them. So we did a little study. We did the comps. We did all of this stuff. Then we listed it with two agents. We interviewed the two agents, quite frankly, and we found out which one had tremendous contacts with the German consul general.
So the family was German?
The family lives in Germany. But the fact is, more important, I found out the agent speaks German. So when the Germans come in, this particular agent is recommended by the German community. So that's who we're going to list it with. That's what we do that makes it different. I want somebody that's going to sell the house. I don't just want somebody to stick a sign up in the yard and say, oh, here I am, and aren't I wonderful? That's what makes us different.
And I know in my experience, I've been to I'll not say the name of the company, but a sizable company. Where I was managing the finances for it. It was about a $8, $10 billion company here in Atlanta. And when I came to look at the balance sheet, we had, I think it was over 100 houses that we had from various international and within the U.S. Relocations that we'd done. And this was slightly before the real estate bomb.
Right.
But I said to the CFO, what are we doing? We're not in the real estate business. Exactly, what are we doing with all these houses?
That's
and by
exactly
the way,
right,
whose responsibility is it to shift it? Because I can't ascertain the value, and we had
exactly
to do Sarbanes-Oxley compliance. How do I know what the value is? We're now going to have to cost every quarter to go
that's
get
right
a valuation on
that's
these
right
things. Let's work with someone to go sell them.
Yeah.
And the cost on the balance sheet for that was just phenomenal. And we actually went through a program over the next couple of years of selling those.
Yeah.
But we found that we had some of the C-level executives' houses that were in the multi-millions.
Yeah.
They don't shift that fast.
No. And you've got to, and what happens is you've had the third-party companies that are humongous, and they're making an enormous fee per month to hold on to them. They have no incentive.
And they charge you.
They charge you. Oh, they're charging you an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize
mm-hmm
that they're charged. So I don't work with a lot of those companies because, and I'll go in and I say, when's the last time you looked at this?
Mm.
Oh, and they say, oh, we're very happy with them. I said, I bet you are. I said, do you have a clue
what they're charging you?
And the answer mm-hmm is no. And I said, well, you need to rethink this. And most people don't understand how the van line business works. I have contracts with all the van lines. And some of the van line, I have contracts with United, I have contracts with North American, I have contracts with Allied. And quite frankly, I can get you better deals than you can get. Now, what happens is that in the van line, the domestic van line business, here's what's going on. People are going out and getting estimates. Now, the problem with the van line business is that you don't know who's going to show up at your door.
Yeah.
I do.
I remember one move that I did. I was actually moving about 2 miles, and I had such an immense amount of home
damage
stuff
yeah
that I needed somebody else to move it.
That's right.
And something like 7 or 8 men turned mm-hmm up, and I swear one of them couldn't even walk in a straight line.
That's right.
And from about 10 paces away, the smell of alcohol
right
was just
that's exactly
immense.
Right.
And I did not want my china
well,
in
well,
his
sure
hands.
Sure you don't. Sure you and the people think that when they're dealing with the van lines,
yeah,
they're dealing with an entity. Well, the fact is, every single van line is set up so that all of these particular agents, well, they have what are called class 1, class 2, and down drivers. Well, on my shipments, I have class 1 and class 2 drivers all the time. All the time. I know who your drivers are. Well, the fact is, when you go out and you get these incredibly low rates, you haven't got a clue who your driver is. He could
sure
have gotten out of prison last week. And he's picking because the way the that whole thing works now, all you have to do is get a the driver's license for the truck driving industry.
Sure, sure.
They don't do any of the stuff that they used to do years ago because there's not the money in it. You know, and the fact is, you're looking at the discount. I'll tell you a great story about that. You know, one of the things we all learn is we learn by stories. A very, very, very dear friend of mine who was retiring from Atlanta to Aspen, Colorado. He had a very large mood. He had some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful antiques. Name was Jerry, and Jerry calls me and he says, Jim, I want to get an estimate from some of your guys. And I said, fine. And I said, I can get you I know a crew that will move your antiques. They'll do a great job. And he called me up and he said, Jim, your estimate is $700 higher. This was several years ago. I said, Jerry, look, we've cut this down. I got a driver for you. I know I can get this done for you. He said, no, I'm going to go with some fella in North Carolina. He's $700 cheaper. Jerry moved with this guy, called me, came back. He was in Rotary with me. And came back to Rotary several months later. He said, I have a $24,000 claim. I said, oh, my God. And he said, what should I do? I said, next time move with me. That's a great story. But that's the problem.
So they damaged the
damaged his beautiful, beautiful, beautiful antiques. He ended up having to sue them because they wouldn't return his calls. And they ended up, it turned out he finally got it fixed, but it took him a year and a half, and he had to take him to court. All right. That's a great story where he saved $700, but he ended up, I don't know what he paid in court costs. I don't know what he paid for all that stuff, the headaches, the trauma, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What can you do? Well, the fact is,
yeah,
there's the Household Goods Carriers Bureau, But what happened in the moving business, you get these incredible deals. Well, mm-hmm. the fact is, what did you save? You pay attention. And most of the time, if you think about who's there at Origin, mm-hmm. at Origin, and when you're packing your stuff, 99% of the time, it's the women that are there. And they're picking up street labor. You got to think about how most of these guys, especially on long distance, most of these guys are picking up street labor. Most of these guys are just going, and they're going to cut their costs because that's how they get paid. Who do you want running around your home when your wife and your daughters are there by themselves? Do you want these guys? How much is it worth to you to have these guys in your house? Would you like to know? One of the things we're using a lot now is, have you seen the Safety Light commercials on TV?
No.
Safety Light has that great commercial where the guy comes and fixes your car, the windows on your car, and he says, we're going to give you the name of the guy that's going to come to your house. That's exactly what we're doing on our moves. We'll tell you who your driver is. I love that, sir. I love that because I'd want to know. I want to know we've got your driver's going to be James Franklin or whatever. So you know who your driver is. Mm-hmm. And then we can give you his telephone number. We know who it is. Mm-hmm. That's who's going to be at your house.
Yeah. And I think that's
a great comfort.
Yeah.
We can give you a cell phone, and he's going to be here on such and such a date.
Yeah.
You need to know those kinds of things.
Knowing your customer and delivering.
Absolutely. We can give you an email. We can tell you who it is. Mm-hmm. This is who's going to be there. The same thing applies on tracking for an international shipment. Mm-hmm. We can tell you when your goods are going to be here. Where are your goods? They're halfway across the ocean. Wouldn't it be a nice thing to know?
Mm. I remember you telling me a story once about shipping somebody up in the Northeast that had swans.
Oh, yeah. That was a great story. And we moved a family from Marshall, Michigan to Birmingham, Michigan. And the woman had seven swans a-swimming. And I got the job. And I was a young salesman. And how I got in this business was a fluke, too. This was and you have to be.
Yeah, let's start back. Right. We normally start with our guests as to the beginning. So let's go back. What was the beginning?
What happened was I'd been in the Navy for 4 years, and I was graduating from school on the GI Bill, and a fellow offered me a job as a moving salesman. And I remember thinking, what kind of a job is that? It was the strangest job in the world, but he offered me $12,000 a year. Which in the 70s was, if you're old enough to remember that, which obviously you're not.
That was a lot of money.
That was great money. IBM actually offered me $9,000 a year. So $12,000 a year, I remember going home to my wife and saying, $1,000 a month, how are we going to spend that kind of money? And I bought a brand new Cutlass Supreme for $5,500, brand new, with all the trimmings. And I started, I had one suit. It was a green polyester suit. Unbelievable. But I went out and I was a salesman. Well, in those days, the moving business was a controlled industry. Now, what happened was there was no price competition. These were the days of AT&T and the airline. We were
big monopolies, huh?
Big monopoly. It was unbelievable. You could be as incompetent as you wanted to be, and most of them were. So you would go out and you'd do estimates. He took me out on three calls, and then he said, okay, you're on your own. And that was it. Well, it's pretty soon, it was very apparent to me that the money was in corporate business. Well, relatively soon, deregulation hit. So what happened was that... deregulation hits, and now it becomes obvious that we're going to have to start. And so you got to remember, in those days, we were dealing with traffic. Well, like the traffic, I dealt with the traffic guys at Holiday Inn. Holiday Inn was in Memphis at the time. I moved up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, took a job in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We had the Kellogg's account, and we're dealing with the traffic guy at Kellogg's. What a treat that was. All of a sudden, deregulation hits. And the women get involved with personnel and human resources. Well, the women have a much different attitude about that. They want something called customer service. Well, we never thought about that. But it became very obvious to me that we were going to have to start dealing with customer service. Well, since I didn't grow up in the industry, I said, look, well, let's start dealing with the wives. We'll start dealing with the wives. I really, because the men look at this so totally different than
it's
the wives.
It's linear for the men.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If I break something for a man, he tells me,
go buy a new one.
That's exactly right. The women want to give me the history of it. This is my grandma's and blah, 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 or I got this for my wedding and you can't replace it and I'm going to kill you. Absolutely. So, and we started dealing with women in human resources, and what we were the first ones to ever do performance reports in the moving business. This is back in, we weren't sophisticated enough to be the relocation business in those days. We were still a moving business. And then I was one of the first, I'm in Kalamazoo and I started flying out of area. And I first started calling in Manhattan, and I called on an account called Equitable in Manhattan. And I call on this woman named Ann Sana. Oh, my God, this is bringing back memories. And Ann, I told Ann that I wanted her business in the West. And she thought that was Ohio. I mean, these were New York girls. And this is like in early 80s. So she gave me all her business on the West Coast, which was Ohio West.
That's hilarious.
It was hilarious.
That's hilarious.
And we flew in, and we started giving her performance reports. And we started calling. I mean, this is before fax machines. This is before anything. We started calling the wives, and we started introducing ourselves. And we would say, hi, Equitable Life has called us, and we're responsible for your move.
And they'd never had that.
And they'd never had that. Nobody had ever dealt with the wives.
It's a little bit now, here we are, what, 35 years later, and when you get your pizza, now you do it online.
Absolutely.
And you know that Dave's going to deliver
your
pizza.
That's right, that's right. But nobody did that. Mm. Then we would do performance reports. Then we started giving money to the drivers so that if we broke less than $250, which is a lot of money in those days, they could settle the claim right then. And we would give you cash. And we would give you a performance report, and we would send it back. And then we were really sophisticated, and we got a fax machine. And we had one of those mimeograph fax machines.
Heady days.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
We just thought we were the berries because Ann's company had a fax machine. And we said, well, we need to get a fax machine. So we got this mimeograph, and you got this blue stuff all over your hands. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So we got this fax machine, and we would fax her performance reports. And we started doing all of Equitable's work everywhere in the country.
And was she bringing you the swans?
Oh, no, that was another company.
Different.
That was a different company. But Ann just thought we were wonderful, and they did 300 moves a year.
So you got into this fast.
Yeah. Then we started doing it all over the country. Then we started doing international. I said, well, if we can do this domestically, mm-hmm. let's start going around the country, going around the world. We did the same thing with British Telecom. Flew over to London and said, I'd like to do your moves from the States. And they said, okay. It literally was that easy. Nobody had done that. It was hilarious. We just started and we just started doing business that way.
And so now today you move in countries all over the world.
We move all over. We actually do intra-Europe work. We'll do intra-Africa.
So what should the CFO focus on? Let's say he or she is moving somebody, I don't know, from here to Guatemala or here to Shanghai.
Well, if they're moving anybody to anywhere, what happens is most of them see relocation as a pain. It's a pain.
It's a cost.
It's a cost, and it's a pain, and nobody wants to deal with it. So what you're seeing is that you're probably just, and a lot of companies, they say, well, let's just give somebody money and let them do it on their own. Well, the problem is that is taxable.
Yes.
From the first dollar.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
So there's ways to get around that. And we've got companies that we work with that we will manage that.
And these are legal ways
to
get
absolutely.
Around it.
Oh, absolutely.
Just for the audience listening.
Oh, yeah. It has to be. It's mm-hmm. it's totally mm-hmm. legal. Mm-hmm. And we'll take whatever you're giving them. We've got companies that just give us $8,000. But we can do all kinds of things with the $8,000. Why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
Sit down and talk to us.
And make it not be taxable on
that's
the employee.
That's right. And give them somebody to talk to and say,
right.
okay, what is it you're trying to do?
Right.
What is it you want to do with this employee?
So then let's take that and break that down in terms of the CFO needing to know. I think of two components of moving employees country to country or state to state. Okay. First, you're moving the corporate assets. And the company may be, let's say, the we're going to new office space.
Okay.
So let's talk about the corporate side. You said that that was something very early on you got into in the business.
Well, what we got involved in, one of the things you have to do is do a total package. And what we'll get is we'll get people that want to get the cart before the horse. So we always try very hard to say, okay, tell me what you're doing. We'll have people call us and say, we want to look at a flat in Edinburgh. We just had one. And I said, well, wait a minute now. Let's not do that. Have you got a green card? Not a green card, but have you got their visa?
Right.
And they'll say no. And I say, well, you're way ahead. Okay, the first thing you need to look at is the tax implications, the tax equalization. Do you have that? Because if you don't have that, you don't have anything.
Right.
So we'll say, let's get a team together. And I'll put the team together for you, and I'll make sure that you're going to do that. I mean, you don't. It's like it's like you're getting ready to eat, and you haven't found anything to eat yet.
So you help find.
We
the
help find
attorneys
all,
that do
everything.
The immigration paperwork.
Immigration, the tax people. Okay. We'll find every single thing you need to start an office. The same thing applies if you're coming to the States. If you're coming to the States, the failure rate on small business coming to the States is unbelievable. And that's because people don't understand coming to the States. It would be like you and I deciding, okay, we want to open up in Korea.
I've come to the States, so I know what it's like.
Absolutely. And you say, okay, well, we're going to open up, and what we do here is wonderful.
Right.
But we're going to go to Korea, and we speak Korean because we learned it on a Rosetta Stone. And you go, this doesn't work. We don't understand the marketing culture. We don't understand what we've got. And the fact is we haven't done a marketing plan. Well, you know as well as I do, you've got to have a Korean partner to go in there with.
Right.
Well, we set up those partnerships. We've got relationships with people, and we'll go in and we'll say that we'll do the same thing. We do the same thing here.
And one of the things that I found moving countries was that when you land in the new country, I was the spouse, and all of a sudden I, dentist, doctor.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you
Absolutely.
Go to and
Absolutely.
With family and school, and
Absolutely.
That can be an additional concern.
You've got to have all of those services in
so
place.
So do you put all
we
of those
services
together?
We put all of those
together?
Things together. Absolutely.
So when I introduced you as destination and relocation services,
right.
That's the destination
That's the
part
destination
of it.
Services. We help you get your Social Security number. We help you get your driver's license. We help you get language training. We help you get whatever it is you need. We actually have somebody that takes you around shopping. And it's usually because what we find is that women will ask a lot more questions. So we have relationships anywhere in the world with women to women because women will help you. For instance, I'll give you a great example. We just had a woman come in from Poland. Who we offered, I'll give you even more recent. We had someone, a single woman, come in from Brazil. And she met with our contact. We took her shopping. We helped her get her driver's license. We helped her get her Social Security number. And we took her. We showed her where all the different places were. And we helped her find an apartment. Those are the kind of services that we provide to anybody. And we do it, even she was the employee. So what you want to do is say, where do you want to live? As a single woman, what are you interested in? You're interested in safety? I've got to get you in an area that you're comfortable with. But her company, now as a single woman, her company's in Alpharetta. And you say, okay, you don't want to live in Alpharetta.
You still families.
Absolutely. So you want to, she's living in Buckhead. But the fact is, I'm still concerned with your safety. Now, does she have to live in Atlanta for us to do this? Absolutely not. We just did the same thing in Chicago with somebody. We can do it in Denver. We can do it. And we can do the same thing in South Africa. But we have different issues. So we have to look at the checklist. What do you want? What do you need? What can we do?
And you're on the board of the World Trade Center, so you have
right.
a lot
we have
of
access
affiliations
to all, of
all over the world.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, what are the biggest mistakes that companies make, in your opinion, in the area of relocation?
Well, I think what they're doing is the biggest mistake they're making right now is they're thinking that houses are not selling. and that people are not relocating. They are relocating. Houses are selling. The problem is that everybody thinks that their house is worth $1 zillion. It's your house. It's not worth anything. The fact is, houses are selling. Of course they're selling. And what you've got to do is you've got to get somebody who understands relocation is not like the average guy selling his house. And what we're seeing...
The speed has to be there.
That's exactly right. Here's what we're seeing. We've seen three examples within the last 2 months of individuals who are given a lump sum. Here's what happens. They think that's found money. And guess what? It's taxed at your tax rate. So I give you $50,000, but your tax rate is 35%. Well, guess what? You don't have $50,000.
Right.
Well, you go down and you see this incredible deal on a house. So you buy the house, but you still got your house at origin.
So and now you got a tax bill.
That's right. You got a tax bill, but you still have your house.
So this was a company that didn't come to you.
No.
And then after the fact.
That's right.
These
now, they're all upset. And the employee's going, oh, my God, I've got two houses. I got two mortgages. I still got the house at origin. And I got the house here. Well, he got his house here really, really, really inexpensively. But the fact is, he still got his mortgage, in this case, in Buffalo, New York, is listed with his wife's best friend. Now he wants me to get out of that deal. I said, okay, here's the problem. She's got a binding contract for another 90 days. And guess what? It's an old listing. It's a stale listing. And everybody who has been looking at it knows it's an old listing.
Yeah.
So you've got market problems. Yes. And here's what we do. We turn it around. We do turnabouts fair play. My wife taught me that. She's from Alabama. So what we do is we say things like, all right, let's assume that you're moving from Atlanta to Buffalo. All right, you obviously liked this house at one point because you bought it. Now, look at the neighborhood. Let's punch up the MLS and see if we can do that. We punched up the MLS. There were 32 other houses in that neighborhood. All right? We punched up his house. We looked at his house. His house was the second highest priced house in the neighborhood. I said, now, would you look at your house? He said, no. I said, neither is anybody else. That's what we do. You've got to pay attention. The fact is, your house is very similar, but it's listed way too high. And the reason it's listed way too high is because your wife's best friend didn't want to hurt your feelings. It should be listed. In this case, it should be listed about $200,000 less than it's listed.
So how's that working for the customer?
Well, they're livid, and they're going back to the company and saying, well, you need to give me more time. You need to help me with this. Well, the company's saying, wait a minute now.
They're locked into a 90-day deal.
That's right.
That's a tough one. Well, let's drill down to some of the other elements of this. What can a CFO expect to spend on relocation? Let's say some of the examples that you've already given us. I'm a CFO and I'm looking to move somebody from one country to another or one state to another.
Well, it depends. One of the things that we strongly suggest and one of the things that we help people with, we're in the process of doing it right now. We've got a wonderful new company. Well, it's not a new company. It's a company that's been around for a long time. But what we find is most companies, and this amazes me because we will help them write it, don't have a policy. We will help them write a policy.
So a relocation policy.
Relocation policy, and most companies have a tiered policy.
Such that the executive get one package and the rest of the staff
absolutely.
Get another.
Now, most companies are not buying houses anymore.
Sure.
But we do have a tiered policy, depending on what you want to do. And so we'll write you a tiered policy. The other thing we'll do is we'll compare you to other people in your industry. So that because what are you using this for? You're using this for recruiting and retention.
Right.
So we have to become part of your team. Right. We have to be the best thing you can possibly have is somebody in that's the equivalent of being down the hall from you. So you have somebody and you say, okay, we think that this person, why would you relocate somebody? The only reason you'd relocate somebody is they're going to be of value to your company.
Right.
So you say, we're going to bring in Joan or Jim or whatever, and we're going to move them from here to here, and we think that they're going to add value to our team. Well, what you would normally do in the old days, you would say, go find out how much it's going to cost to buy their house and put them in a new house.
Right.
Today, you don't do that. Now, but we can actually go back and find out where they are in their mortgage. Are they upside down in the mortgage? With their approval, we can do that. We can actually go right in, and we've actually suggested to companies, don't hire these people. They're too upside down. And it'll never work. It's a $150,000 a year job based on what they're doing. This is the better hire. And companies will approve that. So it's interesting, but we've got to be part of your team. And the
so
fact
you
is,
work with the CFO and
absolutely,
HR and
absolutely.
So forth.
We'll go in and say, what are we doing here? How much is it going to sell? What are the houses selling for? What can we do? Blah, 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 blah. And it makes perfect, perfect sense. But you have, most companies have at least a three-tiered policy. We're actually working a program now with pods.
Ah, yes.
So we're working with the pods people, and you got new hires. We'll drop the pods. We'll help people load it. We'll get it out of there, and we'll move it here, and you'll bill it all through us. We've got all of these different programs to make it so that it's really easy to get these things done, but we coordinate it for you.
Sure.
So that you're not stuck.
Sure. You're bringing it all together.
Absolutely.
So, albeit that every situation is unique and you can't really give an estimate of what the costs are, perhaps we can talk about what a CFO can do to save costs.
Well, you know, let me suggest this. Yeah. Let me suggest that in a lot of cases, we actually have some of the software available to give you costs. You call us up and say, look, we're thinking about moving a three-bedroom home from here to here. Give me a ballpark figure. We can do that.
Okay.
We've got the software now that can actually do that.
Got it.
I mean, it's not that difficult anymore. Now,
so where does the CFO reduce the costs?
Well, what you want to do...
Or is it more about making sure that the relocation goes right first time?
Yeah, you really need But the fact is, what you don't want to do is you don't want to have it go badly.
Right.
Because that'll come back and haunt you. The other thing that where you can really reduce costs is cut down on temp housing. Temp housing is normally outrageously expensive. Now, we do temp housing, but what we're finding is people, if they're not selling their house, they want to extend temp housing.
And it's an expensive way to do business because typically you're looking for furnished.
Absolutely.
Housing.
Oh, yeah. And you're looking. We've got one right now they're paying $6,000 a month for temp housing, and they keep extending it. And we're saying, guys, do you understand what this is costing you? And then they're paying a mortgage. And I'm saying, do you have any idea what this is costing you? And they keep extending it. And I don't think anybody's paying attention to that. And I pay attention. You're not paying attention.
And I think that's why some companies go to a this is your dollar limit and a budget.
That's right.
And that's why they give you X thousand dollars because they don't have to worry with the headache at that point.
That's right. And that's what happens. But part of our job is you got to understand that we work for the company.
Right, right.
But if you can get somebody, if you're the employee and you just keep billing it, and we had one not too long ago where one of our, the Cartus, which is the biggest one in our business, was charging them $8,000 to manage the property, while it was for sale. Well, they had no incentive to sell. Why would I sell your house if I'm charging
every month you're picking up $8,000?
$8,000.
Right.
And I said, you don't have a clue what they're charging you, do you? And they said, well, no. I said, well, look at this. Because I got the report from the employee, because the employee said, I'm paying this out of my budget.
Yep.
And I said, oh, my God.
So you will work with the employee as well, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
You absolutely have
The employee was a friend of mine.
Right, right.
And he came back to town because he had moved from Atlanta to Memphis. He said, this is coming out of my budget.
Ouch.
I said, holy mackerel, I'd like to make that. I think that'd be a nice little chunk of change.
Right, right.
And he said, this is coming out of my budget. He said, what should we do? I said, well, you need to get rid of them. But these big companies will nickel and dime you to death. And else, but they're making such enormous fees. Mm-hmm. Enormous fees.
On the relocation.
On the relocation. And you can't do that. The other thing that that people don't understand is a lot of those companies are incestuous. All right, let me tell you what I mean by that. I don't work with those companies. Cartus owns Coldwell Banker and Century 21. Serva owns Allied North American Van Lines. Prudential owns Prudential Real Estate. Weikert owns Weikert Real Estate. You've got, who else is out
so
there?
So they're recommending service lines that
absolutely,
they own.
That they own.
Right.
You
right.
can't do that. How many, right. how, the fact of the matter is, how can I audit myself?
Right, you can't. There's no independence.
No. You have to deal with people that say, well, I don't own the company. It's very much like in the CFO business, Anderson Consulting saying, well, I recommend Arthur Anderson.
Right.
Can't
Which,
do that.
Thankfully, they're gone now.
That's
but,
right.
Yes.
But in the reload
that
business,
would happen.
You can't do that.
Right.
And no one seems to catch on to that. I got a great idea. And they also own the mortgage companies. I got a great mortgage company for you, me. Oh, wasn't that a wonderful idea?
There you go. There you go. There's no independence there. Well, Jim, we could talk forever, and I'm very conscious of the time. We're coming up to the end of our questioning. We always ask our guests on the show, we've got a tradition on the show to ask our guests, what is your CFO tip of the month? So I'm going to put you on the spot. Something that if you were sitting in front of a CFO in the realm that you're in, what is the one tip that you would give that CFO?
Well, the big tip I would have is pay attention to what's going on in my segment of the business, because I think you're losing a lot of money in this. And unfortunately, what people think of is the moving cost. That is the least of your costs.
It's the wider aspects.
It's the wider aspects.
Relocation, door to door.
Door to door, all the toys.
Costs.
Yeah, yeah. And employee dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm,
Does
mm-hmm.
that help?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim, this has been a great pleasure having you as
thank
a guest
you.
On my radio show.
Thank you. Thank you. You did a nice job.
And thank you very much to Munson International
well,
for you being
you.
A sponsor for many years. We'd like to thank our contributor as well, smallbusinesscosthelper.com, and to our sponsors, Delaney Consulting, providing CFOs and controllers to Fortune 1000 companies and small businesses alike. For more information about Delaney, go to DelaneyLLC.com. And thanks go to National Association of Corporate Directors, advancing exemplary performance for board leadership for directors by directors. And their website is at nacdonline.org. This and other thought leadership from today's CFO is available right from your computer at cforadio.com. If you know of a CFO who you think would be a good guest for the show, or you are a CFO and would like to be a guest, please contact us via the web and let us know. Thanks for listening to CFO Radio. This is Lorraine Chilvers signing off. Until next time.